The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. Believe it or not, today's the last day of February. No, tomorrow is. I'm sorry. Today's February 28th, 2016. Up here in Albany, it's bright sunshine. I think it's probably about 40 degrees out, and they're talking mid-50s already. Even though we've had very little winter, the air the last few days feels like it's changing to spring-like air, so we'll see what happens. But we're sponsored by www.docsprefer.com. That's Dr. William Wong. Sorenex.com, 803-978-2253, extension 111. Don't forget, too, Steven Santangelo is a regular on here every month. Unleash your strength with relentless metabolic endurance through 100% pure, wholesome, organic foods. Athlete's Choice is the only product with the ultimate results you're looking for. You can contact him at primalcreations@aol.com or on Facebook, STEPHEN, period, SANTANGELO, period, 75. Tell him we sent you. Grasslandbeef.com, that's our good friend John Wood. His meat is loaded with CLAs and omega-3s, grass-fed, grass-finished, and you can also get grass-fed lamb and bison, free-range poultry, wild-caught seafood, raw honey, and other wellness products. PlanOfYourWorkouts.com, that's our buddy Jason Fulner. It's a workout logbook. It's 8x6 to record all your workouts, and obviously he's got one. At one point, you can set new goals. It's really a nice setup. I've got one. You can also get it on Amazon Prime for $5, no shipping. StrongerGrip.com. It's our buddy Ryan Pitts. They've been around for 10 years. They've made gear for the NFL, college teams, Hollywood actors, and arm wrestling. They've also made the trophies that you've seen on ESPN. They also have been featured in Men's Health magazine, and they've made custom hammers for Mick Dodge and thousands of hard-training strength people, just like all of us out there. And that brings us to the big contest. You still got plenty of time. March 17th, it ends to win that big sledgehammer that he built for FBC here. It's 25 pounds empty. You can load the handle with 15 pounds a shot. Total, it holds 83 pounds a shot, and it's the smoothest hammer I've ever swung, and I'm being dead honest with you. You talk about balance. It's unbelievable. Now, this is what you got to do to win this $350 hammer. Go out. I don't care what the video is. Whatever you deem strength, it doesn't matter if you're a regular on this show or not. Go out and upload your video to YouTube. On the subject line, type in FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash and what it is you're doing. Go down in the box below. If you want to explain it more in detail, that's even better. But please put your email address in there. If you don't, and we pick you, we go to the next one. That's just the rules of the game here. If you win, you get to come on Motivation Muscle with Ryan and I and get to do a show. Whether you're a regular on here or not, we want to get everybody involved. Those are the rules. They're pretty easy, pretty straightforward. So get involved and win that hammer. Also, adexclub.com. These are adjustable exercise clubs and maces. These competition maces and clubs are for the AKA Vintage Strength Games, and they're a proud sponsor of Motivation and Muscle. Top 10 Ways to Build Mind and Muscle. That's a free downloadable ebook. All you got to do is give me your email address, and away we go. Commit, take action. The two biggest products to date here on FiorelloBarbellCo.com is Strength Times Power equals Success in the Winner's Circle. Strength Times Power shot in HD. That's the program I use. I use it with everybody, but I use that specifically to knock 43 pounds off Dennis in 6 months. Also, Winner's Circle, 12 modules, all audio. It's everything I've done from my start to where I am and in between. If you like iron boots, if you like to lift stones, sandbags, pressing, curling, whatever it is you like to do and you like the philosophy of this show, it's all on there. Go out and take a peek at that. there's nothing on there I've never done, and there's so many things I've done since then that we're just stacking it up ready to go. And last but not least is sponsorship for the show. You've got two more days right now at $100. It goes up to $500 next month. I do anywhere from 5 to 15 shows a week, but I'm averaging a minimum of 12 a week. There's nobody out there doing this. Nobody. And nobody's got the content we got out there, and we don't charge for our content. That's the biggest thing. And it's a big nut every month to pay for this show. So come on aboard. We're going to be around for 25 years. Join my family. And remember this, the $30 right now with the cold weather goes to muscular dystrophy for flu shots for the kids. And as everybody knows, and if you don't know, both sites are dedicated to my brother Jimmy, who died of muscular dystrophy from a common cold. It went to pneumonia, and they couldn't save him. This is what happens when they get in their early teens. Their respiratory system just fails them. That's usually what happens. And Jimmy had Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is the harshest form of it. And he, if it wasn't for my mother and father, he probably wouldn't even live to be a teenager. I mean, it was just their undying love, and they would not accept anything. And we were very, you know, it seems like an eternity since he's been gone, but he's always here in my heart. So let's get involved, and as I say, come be a part of my family. Well, today we got a good friend of the show. We got Wade Johnson on, and Wade's on every month with us now. And you can go out and look at a lot of the other shows we've done with him. They're awesome. And I'm going to put the show up with Wade today right after we're done. I'm going to give you a little information, then Wade can come in and tell you some more about himself. He owns the Ogre Compound, and he is a champion powerlifter. He's a coach slash trainer, and I'll call him a speaker, too, because he's an excellent speaker. He, you know, we just talked offline for a while, and, you know, the way he conveys messages to his pupils and the you know, it's that leadership and that build-up you have with others. And I was saying to Wade, you know, the most important thing is what they take from you, whether they come back or not, they're going to be able to plug that into their personal life. And I think that is more of a trainer than anything. You could go out and lift, you know, you could go and bench press 400, 500 pounds. But, man, if you can't put the rubber to the road outside of the gym, I just have a different philosophy on it. Also, too, he is an Olympic lifter. Wade, welcome to Motivation and Muscle, sir.
Great to be with you, Eric.
It's great to have you. Yeah, add anything I forgot onto that. And we're going to do two things today before Wade comes right in. We're going to talk about his son, Wes, and we're going to talk about some of Wade's lifting heroes. So take it away, sir.
Just quickly, I've been lucky enough to lift some respectable weight in the powerlifting community in that arena. I've done well as a master lifter nationally and internationally in Olympic lifting, and I've won at strongman. So I've been very, very lucky. Probably my strength is just longevity, clearly, at 50 years old. And currently, like you said, on the Ogre Compound, where we have a morning crew and an evening crew that trains here, and then there's a online community with Team Ogre as well. So it stays really busy. So I'm very blessed.
Yeah, and you know something, you're out spreading positive words, and you're teaching people, and we need that. We need that right now more than ever. We need a lot of strength, whether it's, you know, one isn't separate of the other, the mental and the physical. We need that more than ever, especially with the kids. There's so much lacking nowadays, and it's like it might be a one-parent family, and, you know, these kids are at risk a lot of times. And it's like that's one of the big things, Wade, and we'll move right into Wes. But I think what we do here is not only very special, I think we got an opportunity here with the young kids especially, and we know we're growing an audience with them, where, you know, something as this might sound general in context, but I don't think it is at all. I look at it, if we can save one life out there, man, from going the wrong way, we've done pretty well. And I don't want to stop at one. If we can save hundreds out there, and, you know, I'd love for him to come back and say 5 years from now, because of Wade and your show, we just did XYZ, and we couldn't have done it without there. So that's my purpose. That's my goal with this show. And not only that, we're just going to offer the best of the best out there. There's nobody who's going to touch us. So if you want to comment on it, that's fine. If not, we can move right into Wes, and you can update everybody on his big triumph now coming back.
Well, the thing that I would say, and we were talking about this earlier, and I know we've talked about this on previous shows, you know, that I think the important thing for coaches, regardless if you're the high school basketball coach or, you know, it's a Pee Wee soccer team, you know, that has both girls and guys, is as coaches, but I think this should, it's not just parents. Let me give you a scenario. It's one of those things where in this day and age, we're quick to place blame on a group of people. The teachers didn't do, you know, they're not doing their job at school, or the parents are being terrible parents. And I'll be honest, by and large, you know, I'm in contact with a lot of people, and I think a lot of people are out there busting their ass and doing, you know, and I don't know about you, you know, my son is 28 now, and when he was born, there was no, you know, easy manual, you know, that says, if you do this with your son, he's going to be great, you know.
Yeah.
You're flying by the seat of your pants, and, you know, at 22 years old, I didn't have a clue, you know. I didn't know the difference between crap and apple butter, you know. So
it's
one of those things where it's like you're just trying to survive and continue raising yourself, you know, let alone be responsible for an infant. And so I think the thing that we got to look at is overall that it does still take a village, and how important and how crucial to our society that is. But not to get too far off track, as a coach, I can only do so much. But the thing that I can do that is vitally important is I can coach these lifters or athletes to be better at whatever their endeavor is, and we mentor them. You know, and again, I don't want to belabor the point, but I think it's important. One of the things that I do with the young men that come in here, even if, you know, I've had kids that come in here just to learn technique, you know, or the parents looking for something that helps with discipline or structure.
Sure.
Teach them how to shake a hand. Now, a lot of people after are going to go, why isn't the dad doing that? Well, the dad's probably doing that, but how many of us, and I go through this with my son, even in this day and age, where because your dad, you know, that son, you have those, whether it's competitive or indifference or my dad is dumb or all the things that we go through that, you know, that traditionally are issues between father and son. But someone on the outside, you know, that is not intimately involved family-wise, we look to those people. And that's why coaches and teachers and clergy and friends, you know, the village, you know, your neighbors and everything like that, that's where those things come, you know, become so crucial, you know, because the dad's trying to make a living, trying to keep the kids safe, trying to teach, you know, because he's the guy that's always got to be the asshole. Let's be realistic. You know, I'm going to be loving, but I got to bust your ass for this, or I've got to discipline you for this, you know, and I've got to work overtime because, you know, you need, you know, I can't, when Wes was in school, there seemed to be some sort of group. There was and I was a single parent at the time, you know.
Sure.
And you know, that was what we did because we thought that was what was best for Wes. His mother did a great job, but Wes moved in with me his last 2 years of high school because of school curriculum, so on and so forth. And every time I turned around, there was the mother quarterback club. Well, I'm a dad, but somehow I was giving money to that, you know.
Yep.
And so, you know, here I am, I'm a single parent, and you know, every time I turn around, it's $20 to $30. And we'll see. Now we're just removed 10 years, and what did it cost? Like, look, you know, just 10 years ago when I bought Wes a pair of cleats for football, man, it stung. You know, it was like, wow, that's pretty expensive. Now I see what parents are paying for these things now, and I'm like, oh my God, you know, how are they doing it? You know, and the kids, they're bringing their kids to me, you know, and that. You know, we do it as affordably as possible. And
sure.
And so it's one of those things, you know, it's very, very difficult. So that dad is, I'm making a living. I have to be the disciplinarian. You know, there's all those things that, and all those responsibilities. that's our job. So I make sure, you know, that I reinforce, you know, the mm-hmm. parental respect, the respect of your teachers, the respect of your coaches. And the easy part for me, because of my size and mm-hmm. all those types of things, they're quick to respond to that. So it's a golden opportunity where I go, here's how, this is why a handshake is so important. This yep. is why being respectful is so important. And it's those little things that create habit, that build on the other. And you were talking about, if we save one, well, here's the great thing about saving one. When that situation, when you cultivate that, even if it's one positive, that person will feel compelled. Not, you know, burden may be too strong a word, but they'll have that compulsion to pay that forward. You know, this works yeah. well for me. There, you know, yep. now there's a, 'cause I tell my guys all the time, you know, and when we, again, we talked about this. If you leave my gym for the last time for whatever reason, and all I did was make you stronger, then I have failed you as a coach. My mm-hmm. job, I should feel that compulsion to mentor and help make you a better person. And my hope, the burden that you carry, is that I tell them sooner or later, your role is going to change, where mm-hmm. you will be in my position that I am today, and someone, a young man, a young lady, is going to be put on your path for whatever reason, and that is your moment to pay it forward. And those are the things that keep the world spinning in the right direction. And oh, yeah. it's what it's truly about, because you strip away, you know, the money, the cars, the houses, and all the cool stuff that we seem to find so important. You know, we're made to be social. We're made to be in mm-hmm. a group of people. And mm-hmm. and when we do that, that is when we're at our most human. That's what makes us as humans so unique, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's where we carry the most weight, the most vitality, that, you know, is when we're loving and when we're caring and when it's about the people as opposed yeah. to the things. And I love things. I love my gym. I love all the little toys. I love all that. But the things that are most rewarding is not the fact that I own X amount of monoliths, is when you see the realization of when somebody does something that not only they thought was improbable, but in their mind was likely impossible.
Oh, yeah.
They achieve that. At that point is when the teaching really comes into play, where you have to you cultivate and go, if you can work that hard to achieve something that not so long ago, a short period of time ago, you thought was impossible, now imagine what you could do with every other facet of your life.
Oh yeah, that's the beauty. Yeah,
magic. That's the whole God-giving thing, where it's like, this is why we're here. You know,
yeah,
and so
yeah.
That's why our approach is much the same. That philosophy, I think, is so important. I want to make people stronger. I love that. I want to yep. see people break records. I want to see people win. But what I love is when you see these kids out in public, or you can
oh, yeah.
contact. Let me tell you a quick story, and I know we're not talking about anything we talked about, but I want to tell you
that's
a quick
fine.
Story.
That's not a problem.
A young man that came to my gym when he was 10 years old, he and his father.
Mm-hmm.
And we may have spoken about him in the past. His name is Grant Brace. Yep. He's a wrestler, has played football. July of last year, he and his family moved to Alcoa. His dad had gotten really been looking for this particular job, found the opportunity for that job. And so as bad as we hated to see him pull up stakes, it was the best thing for the family. And mm-hmm. But he stays in touch, and he comes when he's in town. He comes and many times stays with Melissa and I. Mm-hmm. And he'll train while he's here. And it's an interesting thing. Part of his fee was he had to work for me weekly. So Grant would take out the trash and, you know, initially, you know, had a lot of behavioral issues, a lot of respect issues.
Yep.
Now, to make a very long story short, you know, Grant's done very well at wrestling. He could not play on the football team. He could dress out. He could travel. He could play on the junior varsity team, but he couldn't play for the varsity because he had moved. And but I think there enough time had elapsed, and he was able to wrestle, which is his main sport. And he's a very good power lifter as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, you know, he calls me and texts me. Everything is yes, sir, no, sir.
Oh, yeah.
When there's been issues, when he was still here, there was a couple of issues with a couple of guys. And what his parents told me is how he made up, you know, he made sure that when he was speaking to the principal, I'm making eye contact. I'm being mm-hmm. very respectful, you know.
Yep.
And so that doesn't mean that he's perfect. That doesn't mean that there's not moments where there's difficulty. And I want to, that's the story I really want to share. It's twofold. A few weeks ago, he had an opportunity to win a match. And this is wrestling, and it just didn't happen for him. And so they played me the video, and unfortunately for him, video doesn't lie. And
right.
So I challenged him, you know, that, hey, you know, in this situation, you didn't give your best effort. As a matter of fact, it got hard and you quit, and that's not what you've been taught. You've not been
right.
taught that by your parents, and you certainly didn't, you know, learn that here. You know, and the thing that I've tried to teach all of them, failure is never the worst thing that happens. Failure is, that gives us a lot of information, you know, to help you, to teach you, and to make you better. That means if you've given me 100% and it doesn't happen, maybe you're not strong enough. But it will show, you know, maybe the form wasn't good enough. Whatever the case may be, it, in that moment of failure, when you're given your all, you will reveal what you need going forward so we can put you as coaches and teachers in a position, or even teammates, in a position to be successful. So I went over that several times with Grant after the wrestling match. His parents drove out of their way. You know, they live in East Tennessee. They live 3 hours away from here. Now, his match was about an hour away, but they drove to my house. You got to paint the picture. We prepare food for the week. We do our meal prep on Sunday. Usually it's in the afternoon. And so I'm cooking. I have their stuff browning on. There's meat browning on the oven. My grill out back is full. And so I'm going back and forth while I'm talking to everybody. You know, and I finally told him, I said, you quit. Now, if that's acceptable, if you can live with that, then my job is done, you know.
Yeah.
If not, then we've got a lot of work to do. So, again, trying to shorten this up a little bit, he had to wrestle off. The long and short of it, he ended up winning a match to wrestle off at one weight class, and the coach felt like the best opportunity for his team was to have him wrestle off again the next day in a heavier weight class.
Oh, cool.
So you're like, you got to be kidding me. Now, he's got to do this just to get to regionals. He has to place top four at regionals to go to state. And we're still wrestling off. He's won a match, and now you're telling this 16-year-old kid who is an underclassman in high school that he has to wrestle off again. And I'm like, how is this going to go? You just like, you go from the weekend to you quit and you lost a golden opportunity where we would not be going through this. Now you wrestle off a couple of days later and that's not good. You win, but that's not good.
Yeah.
And that's what, that's what his mindset's going to be. And understandably so. So the next day he wrestles off, and to his credit, he wins again. So now we've got to go to regionals, and he's staying in contact with me, and it's yes, sir. No, sir. In moments where it's extremely difficult, where easily you can veer off the path and it flies off the rail. Yes, sir. No, sir. I heard what you said to me that day when we spoke, and I keep running that through my head over and over. So he goes to regionals, and Melissa and I had to be out of town during I'm getting ahead of myself. Anyway, I couldn't be at regionals, but he messaged me that he was wrestling in the finals. So I was like, you know, well, that's great, Grant. Now you're going to state. And he was like, well, I never even thought about that. I was just thinking about winning regionals, you know. And I'm like,
yeah,
I love that when it becomes a 16-year-old young man becomes that focused, you know.
Yep.
The job was done. I'm going to, I placed high enough at regionals that I'm going to state. Because I told him, you know, no one's going, all you got to do is get top four. No one's going to care at state what you placed if you're on the podium at state. All they're going to focus on is podium. And I've been telling him since he was 10 years old, I go, Grant, if you can go to state at least three times and you podium, even if you never win state, if you podium all three times, there is a college out there that will go, we need this kid wrestling for us, and you can get an education. So, which has been our goal, the whole, me and the parents, our goal since he was 10. And boo, don't blink, 6 years pass by. So he loses the regional match, but it's a great tough match, and he left it on the mat, which is all I've ever asked of him. So now he's the next week he goes, and Melissa and I had to be a couple of states away for family, and they're keeping me updated. And Grant made it all the way to the finals, he took the kid to overtime, but ultimately he lost in overtime. But as a sophomore in high school in the 220 weight class, which the heavier weight classes are so hard to be, you know, podium and competitive as an underclassman, and he took the kid to overtime and got second place, you know, and to be so excited, you know, and to be so, you know, after facing, in a 3 week period of time, facing so much adversity with the disappointment in how he performed to the point that the parents felt compelled to bring him to me to talk to.
That's cool.
And then having to win not one, but two wrestle offs just to get the opportunity to go to regionals, doing well enough at regionals to get the opportunity to go to state. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, he was on the mat to win the championship and took the kid to overtime. And I told him, I said, if they don't know who you, if they didn't know who you were when you walked out onto the mat, they certainly know now as you left the mat during finals. There is nobody there that won't know who you are coming forward. So I know that's long-winded, but are the things that make all of this, the hours, you know, and I get paid for what I do.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of money. I'm clearly not getting rich. But this is why you spend so many hours, and there's times where you're like, why do I do this? Why am I pushing myself so hard? Why do I keep investing money in equipment? Why do I work 18 hours a day? And that's why. And that, I mean, the impact that the gym, not just me, but the entire family of the gym, and his parents, you know, and then his wrestling coaches. And not only, here was the beauty. I saw a post a couple of days ago that his former wrestling coaches here in Mount Juliet were tagging him and posting pictures of him and congratulating him.
That's awesome.
You know? And not only to the coach's credit, you know, and that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do. You know, it didn't become about, hey, he's not on my team anymore. This is a kid that was part of our family. He's still part of our family. He's having success with another opportunity. We're going to uplift this kid. And to Grant's credit, he thanked the coach, thanked his Mount Juliet family and teammates, and told them, you know, without you and without all that you've done for me, I wouldn't be where I am today. Now that's something that you have to, you know, that's just good stuff across the board. I can't say enough good things about that.
No, and I mean,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
That was way long-winded, but it goes to show the very thing. You know, a lot of times people will hear you and I say, like, well, you know, our philosophy. Well, there is a clear demonstration, you know, of what coaching and giving of yourself and why mentoring is not only important, and you should feel the compulsion to have the responsibility to do so, why it is so crucial to these kids. Because Grant, here's what I could see for Grant. Grant's going to go back. Grant's going to be successful, and he's doing good in school. Mm-hmm. He will get an opportunity to go to school, and my hope, I don't want Grant to be a big CEO and be rich, and I'll tell you why. Because selfishly, Grant embodies the spirit of what is so important about getting all these kids through life. I hope he becomes a coach. I hope the positive aspects of what he's learned, not only from me, you know, but all the people in the gym and the wrestlers and the coaches, that he teaches more kids, you know, and that he becomes the mentor, you know, that I think he can be. It is such an exciting thing to see when you see a 10-year-old kid that's a brat and needs to have his ass busted to he's leading by example. I mean, he's becoming a leader. So that's exciting for me anyway. That's all about that.
Well, and the nice thing about that, Wade, is that's something he'll carry through his life with, and like you said, become a leader, a trainer, a coach, whatever you're going to do, and offer all the things he was taught. And, you know, the word repetition is it's not just in weightlifting. You know, the repetition of your mind and having good influential people surrounding you. You know, I'm a big believer, you know, you should have people that are as good as you, but if you want to be a real success, you got to have better people than you, whether that's weightlifting, business, whatever you want to get into, because there's so, like when Wade and I had talked offline before we came on for a little while, and I was telling him about John McKean and Steven Santangelo, who I had these pretty extensive talks with the other day, and how I'm doing this squatting now with not holding a bar anymore. I'm dead stopping it off the rods like I do, but I'm pushing off with my hands off the thighs. Try that and see how much balance you got. Everybody likes to talk core. Well, I'll tell you what, I don't care how good your core is, you're still going to have to adjust to that. It's just things like that. People that, you know, we talk about mentoring, and I've been doing this stuff a long time, and I love a lot of these really off-the-wall things that most people wouldn't touch. You know, Wade and I were talking about, you know, like a Jefferson lift. All these things that have kind of fallen out of favor, you know, like how many people you see dip anymore, do a real, whether it's a straight arm or a bent arm pullover with a dumbbell, whatever, bent rows. I mean, there's another lost art, you know, things of that nature. And one of the things that we're doing with this show, and Wade's part of it, is we're bringing this stuff all back to the forefront again. Stones the same way. I've got more people now that have started sandbag stone lifting since they've listened to Motivation Muscle. Am I bragging? I'm going to brag a little bit here, but that was the idea. This was the idea to build a family that is so big and so supportive of each other that we're just going to feel like we're covered in armor no matter what happens. And that's always been my influences. And today, I mean, I'm influenced by a ton of people. I don't claim to know anything. I know a little bit to be dangerous. But, you know, when you shut yourself off, and I'm talking about learning from the right people. You know, there's a lot of posers out there. I'm talking about reputable people that will give their time to you, whether they make you pay for it or not. It's very important. And you see this young man, how he came in, he really needed a boot in the ass, and he got it. And those influences that Wade put on him have carried him now to be a young teenager. That's one of the best things you can ever experience, and I think it's very important that we keep doing this. But let's get in the West, Wade, and then we're going to go, at least before we get off the air, I want to get a few of your lifting heroes. So go right in with your son and give everybody an update about what he's up to now.
Well, like we were talking about, just to kind of give you a background, Wes has always been big and always strong, and I had, you know, a lot of people would argue that this is not the best thing, but I disagree. Wes would lift when he was 10 years old. Now, we, you know, we kept it in check, you know, and worked on form. But Wes competed when he was, for the first time, he did a deadlift only meet that I ran with Scott Taylor in the APA. Mm-hmm. This was in 2000. And at 12 years old, he deadlifted 305 pounds. And, you know, that was just, you know, again, back in those days, it was just unheard of. And he had no concept. He just loved being strong. He loved being around the guys in the gym. And his first full meet, he was 14. I think he squatted 185, benched 135, and then deadlifted 403. Clearly, he loved to deadlift. But fast forward, his last full meet that he did was he was 17 years old, and it was in multiply equipment, just double ply, nothing, you know, and none of it was made for him. It was all hand-me-down stuff. I don't know if you're familiar with Jay Gibson. Some people will be, who unfortunately passed away this past year. Yep. And Jay was tied in with a particular company and sent Wes and I a couple of suits that he wanted us to try. And this was before they were out on the market. And Wes, no briefs, just the suit and wraps, squatted 805. He bench pressed 500 pounds in a shirt that, if you remember, their name escapes me all of a sudden. Anyway, she made a shirt. It didn't fit somebody right. She thought it might fit him. Karen Klein, I'm sorry. And she sent it to Wes, and Wes bench pressed 500 pounds of that, and then he deadlifted 575. And he had just turned 17 years old. And he was 330 pounds at that meet.
Yep.
And a junior in high school. So if you can imagine, you know, you and I were big guys, you know, as a junior in high school, you know, the thought that if I were walking around the halls and could squat 805 pounds, you know, the thing that was crazy is Donnie Thompson was his back spotter. And I've seen Donnie. It was probably in the last year in a meet, and he still tells the story where he goes, can you imagine being in high school and you're 17 and you're walking the halls with all your friends and you squat 805 pounds? So it was one of those things. We'd go to the Arnold, and we would go early. Gary Frank, Andy Bolton, Donnie, Spud, and, you know, and the guys that – you know, that were back in the WPO days, they would always be cordial and go, hey, Wade, how's it going? But then they would become animated when they saw Wes, you know.
Yep.
So that was the kind of response, you know, and Wes was a big kid. Fast forward, Wes decided he was ready to not be so big and wanted to look more fit, wanted to be more trim, and he started losing weight and started training differently. And Wes moved to Knoxville after he went to massage therapy school, and he worked for a company up there doing massage work, and that's where his girlfriend was going to school, who now is his wife. Again, fast forward to she gets done with her graduate school. She gets hired by a clinic. Here she's a veterinarian, and they moved back to Mount Juliet, and he's been back in Mount Juliet now for a couple of years, and is training and decides that he's going to get ready for a meet and is going to do it raw without knee wraps, and it lifts in the 242 class. I don't recall exactly what his body weight was. He squatted 500 pounds, belt only, bench pressed 330, and now the deadlift is clearly his lift, but what was interesting, and I'm not sure what happened, that would be a better question for him. He opens at 500 pounds, which is something he and I have done in here numerous times this entire training cycle, gets to the top, balance is not good, and has to put it down and misses his opener. And, you know, so now he's facing some adversity. And he comes back, hits it, but looks shaky. So I remember he comes up to the table. I'm announcing the meet. Usually I'm judging. Or in his case, like at his last full meet, now 11 years have gone by. I was handling Wes. I wrapped his knees. I got him set in gear. I handed off to him. You know, I adjusted his suit for his deadlift, you know, and I picked all of his attempts. And, you know, here I'm just announcing to me, and he comes up and he says, I want 570. And I was like, what? You know, and he barks at me. I said 570, you know. And so at first I was like, well, you're being a little asshole, and I'm your dad, you know, and I'm, you know. And then I was like, this is intent. You know, it's how I would be. You know, it's like I came here to do something, and damn it, I'm going to do it. You know, and he saw me questioning him as doubt. And that's, you know what, that's fair. It was a pill that I had to swallow, but he was right. And while he walked away, I said it out loud. Melissa was sitting next to me, and Jesse Rogers' wife was, she was keeping cards. And I said, on this day, I think that's over his head. And he came out and he hit the 570, hits the total that he wants to. You know, after 11 years being away and, you know, always having, you know, been, you know, he was like, people call me Big Wade or, you know, or Coach Big Wade or whatever the case may be. He was always Big Wes. Everywhere we went when he was a teenager, Big Wes. And now a kid that's, you know, his size is not little by any stretch. But he's 90 to 100 pounds lighter than he was the last time he was on the platform. So it was really exciting to see him come back, you know, and hit the total, have a goal. You know, he said, I don't want to get in any gear right now. I just want to knock the platform rust off and get back into the flow of training and competing. And so it was kind of an interesting thing. And the next day he comes in, and he's sore, and he's riding the bike and just trying to stretch. You know, and I said, you know, people don't realize, you know, moments of defining. And I said, you faced some adversity yesterday, and we all have a choice to make. And I go, you know, you were barking at me, and I go, and I understand that was intensity. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, I have no issue. I said, initially I did. That immediate moment, I was like, you little asshole, you know. But that's not what was going on. And you know, when you take a step away from that, you know, and I told him, I said, you know, it easily could have gone the other way, and you had an opportunity and you seized it, and I hope you realize that people, we have young lifters here that I coach, but they gravitate due to Wes's younger age, you know, they gravitate to him. And I explained that to him, and I said, and you, in that moment, you led by example, that I'm going to dig my heels in, I'm going to put my best foot forward, and I'm going to give my best effort, and the chips fall where they may, you know. And to his credit, he dug through, and when everything was stacked against him, to the point that his dad, who trains with him every day, said, there is no way. And when the lift started, you know, with the sumo lifter, and he pulls sumo, when it sticks mid-chin, you're like, he's done. There's just no way. And just and pulls it on through. And the thing is as I posted the video, the thing that I love is in that moment when he turned to see the lights and got three white lights, the exuberance reveals how important this was to him. Those are the things, you know, it's like Grant's story with Wes's story. Of course, you know, and I had this conversation the next day with Wes. I said, as a coach, I would have fought you tooth and nail. I would have been like, those attempts are too much on this day. You know, as your father, you know, of course I've always been proud of you. I'm always going to be proud of you. But in this moment, you not only did you reveal your ability to lead, you revealed your true character.
Yeah.
And those are the things. That's when you go, okay, you know, I, as a dad, I can give you a much longer list of stuff that I have screwed up on versus I did this right. You know, you'll hear a lot of parents go, I did this and I did, and all that may very well be true. But my list, if we're honest, I have failed a lot more than I have come through. And to see a kid, because you got to, that's a decision you got to make. You got to go, I am going to do this, you know.
Oh yeah.
And for him to you let your guard down enough at that moment to go, I am going to, this means so much to me to have that kind of exuberance is those are the moments that make it all worthwhile. So, as you can tell, I'm clearly very proud.
Well, absolutely, you should be. And not only that, I didn't want to interrupt you because I know that, you know, you wanted to tell the story without interruption, but I'll tell you what, too. Does this prove what I've always thought, and I think you and I have hit it upon it? Once you have strength, man, it's with you forever. You don't have to be squatting 1,000 pounds anymore. You come back 10 years later, I don't care if you hit 500 pounds. See, you know what I think now weighed more than anything? And I'm always a guy that is going to like to lift big things and get bigger if you can and figure out how to eat more and not screw yourself up and sleep. I just love all those things. For me, none of this stops anywhere. It's like you're constantly searching, wanting. If you're that type, that's why when they mention your name, people pay attention because they're saying, well, here's a guy that made his bones and did it. It's the same way with Wes, all right? Or anybody we've been around or you've coached or anything. When you can go away for 10 years, a decade, whatever you want to call it, and you can come back and perform like that, all right? See, and that's why I say true strength built never leaves the body. There's proof right there with Wes, all right? And these are things that people don't really get, I don't think, a lot of them anymore. There is that faction of them out there that understand it. But you know something? It's this, we know that in society today we want everything quick, 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 quick. Well, you and I both know, you've been around a little longer than me, but you and I both know this, that building true strength, building the true mental aspect and spiritually understanding what you have to do to perform and your beliefs and your standards and all these things, that a lot of it is just it's not encountered with a lot of people because they figure, hey, I can get by on talent alone. And I said this one day and I went bananas on it. I was like, okay, smart guy or girl, what happens when you get hurt for the first time and say you get a tear like I had with a bicep? Well, what do you do then? Where are you then? And who's going to help you then? Because maybe now you're damaged. And this is the stuff that kind of just gets stuffed under wherever you want to put it and swept away until something major happens. And I think that when you cultivate your mind and you cultivate your strength, and we've just seen with the description you gave with Wes, is this: no matter what it is, you can come back. And the opportunity for you to come back is waiting for you. Are you going to seize it and do it? Yeah. And now, the way he was with you, I can understand. But you know what the best thing was? He believed in himself enough where he was like, no one's going to stop me and I'm going to do this. See, that's more commendable than coming back and lifting what he did. It's remarkable to come back, hit that stuff again after being out of it for so long. But the idea that he came back with that raw determination and that pit bull tenacity, to me, this is what it's all about. You and I had talked about this earlier in the show. You know, what are you going to give? What do you want to leave for a legacy, number one? But number two, that legacy is going to be only great when you can take and push everything you know to other people, have them learn it, just perform and perform it. And they love it so much that they're going to keep your message. It might not be the exact words. They're going to put their own spin on it. But just think, Wade Johnson will be talked about. It could be for decades now, long after you're gone, because the people you impressed upon, obviously younger, same age, whatever, however, how long they live, you know, all of us that love this stuff and are so passionate about it, we never die. See, we might be gone physically, but we don't die because our words keep going. It's like, you know, you love all these people that make music and they pass away. Well, their words are eternal. You can turn them on anytime and hear them. So that's awesome. You know what I want to talk about, if you've finished with Wes and you're where you want to be? This is what I and I'm glad that you should be proud too. I think it's exceptional. That's just the way I believe in everything. But I told Wade in the beginning before we came on, you know, I've never touched upon who he liked. You know, some people that have really made an impression on him as a young man, whatever it is, because I think we all got our heroes too, believe me. We're not the ones out there. We've learned a lot from our heroes, and that's how we have done what we've done. All right, Wade, we know Olympic, strongman, you're into everything a little bit here and there. We know the powerlifting, the mental thing, the training. Let's talk about you now. And it doesn't have to be in any type of order. Who do you like out there today, past, present, future? Who you see? What are you seeing out there right now for you?
Probably the one that started it all for me, believe it or not, is my dad. And
okay.
I never lifted weights with my father, but at a very early age, he would have me work with him on the farm doing certain things. And it was one of those things where you never thought about the danger of it or
right.
This is going to make me strong. You know, it's just I didn't want to disappoint him. And my dad, you know, I think he would, if he were alive, he would tell you that he was a very hard son of a bitch. I mean,
yeah.
And he would tell you he wouldn't. That would be a polished response from him, I assure
mm-hmm,
you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't mean that with any disrespect at all. That was just,
no.
He was born, he came up during the Depression, and you know, those weren't pleasant times, especially in the hills of East Tennessee. You know, it was just a mean time. You know, and if you're going to survive that, you develop a certain amount not only of toughness and tenacity, but you're mean. And I'll tell you a quick story about my dad, just to kind of give you an idea. I was in my early 20s, and I still lived in the same town that he did, and I worked at a music store. This is back when I was doing music. And he picked me up. We were going to his house to eat or something. I don't really recall, but I knew something was up by his behavior. And he goes, "Well, I fully expect the law to be here when we get home." I'm like, "So what the hell is going on?" You know, he goes, "You know, now, I'm not going to completely quote him, but some of the language is what it is." You know, he said, "Well, there was some bitch at the parking lot at Walmart." Now, when the story starts like that, you know that the ending is going to be at least colorful. You know?
Yeah.
And I tell people all the time, you know, that know me now at this age, I said, "I wish you'd had the opportunity to meet my dad, because it would explain so many things."
And,
I go on, what happened? He goes, "Well, I was minding my own business. I was backing out, and I was going with flow of traffic, and this guy comes through screeching his tires and pulls in front of me. I had to, shove on my brakes and cut it hard right to keep from missing him." And he goes, "I put the car in park, and I'm going to get out and make sure he's okay. And that sumbitch starts yelling at me, and he's in my door, and he's got his finger pointing in my face." And he goes, "I pushed him away from the door, and when he came back at me, I backhanded that sumbitch in the mouth, and I knocked his ass out." And I go, "You did what?" Now, at this point in time, my dad is closing in on 60, you know.
Tough ass.
That guy done that to my dad when he was 40, my dad would have probably beat him half to death. That's just you just didn't do that. And so... I said, "You knocked him out?" He goes, "Yeah, he was just laying on the pavement." And I go, "What'd you do?" He goes, "Well, I got in my damn car and I left." He goes, "I just drove around him. When I looked through the rearview mirror," he said, "people were driving around him. He was starting to sit up, shaking his head."
Oh,
and I go,
man.
Thankfully, no trouble, beyond that happened. But that was the kind of man that my dad was. When he was at 60, he was an old grizzled bear, but he was a bear nonetheless.
Yeah.
So that's a colorful story. But when I was a very young man, I was a kid, I was 12, 13 years old. We would do things. I learned about the Fingal Fingers. You know, I recognized that event and where it was derived from as a kid, because my dad and I built a barn.
Okay.
Now, let me explain to you, and I'll try to make this, within reason. We cut the logs on the farm. We took it to a nearby place that had a sawmill and cut those logs. Now, those logs were big enough and tall enough that we were going to have stalls at the bottom and a loft in the top.
Right.
only my father and I set those posts. So that means we had to pick them up,
yep,
put them on our shoulder, walk it to the location because we couldn't get there with the truck, put the post in the hole, and then walk it up. And it was all, me and my dad, it was all we could do to get those posts. Now, because I didn't know what I was doing, I was labor, you know, I'm a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to hold that post while he's tamping the gravel and the dirt in to set it. And and we were too poor to buy concrete.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, and, you know, a guy like that, you know, he's tough, you know. And
yeah.
You know, like, damn it, hold it level. Don't shake. You know, and I'm like, you know, I'm just straining my little ass off just trying to hold it still. And I'm more worried about him being pissed at me than anything possibly being wrong. You know, so you do that, you know, all the time. And we had an old livestock barn, very small. But the post that were holding the roof up had started rotting from the ground up because it was all set in dirt. So what we had to do is where the support beams were, he and I would take a 2x12 and push up on it and then put it against our shoulders. And what he would do is once it got set, he'd get a chainsaw and cut the rotted part out while that's setting on my shoulder.
Cow,
and then he and I would scab in another 6x6 post. You get to the point.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you get really big and really strong in self-defense.
Yeah.
This was never about lifting weights. My parents bought me a weight set when I was a sophomore in high school. And so I would lift weights all the time. And I mean, I didn't know anything, but the building blocks of what I am today was working with my dad on the farm. And I always wanted to lift. So he had a bunch of locust fence posts. I would pick the post up and lift them over my head. The linkage, he had a bulldozer with a bog and a disc and all that kind of stuff. So those big links that you tie all that stuff together, those things were 50 to 100 pounds. And I'd pick them up and, you know, having seen Strongman, you know, would try to hurl those things up in the air. I mean, he more than once would ask me, you know, what in the hell are you doing? Because I'm taking, you know, probably something that was extremely expensive, but in my mind, it was an implant. So I'm hurling that thing in the air as hard as I can. You know, so those were the things, those were the early days that started it for me. Because the one thing that I saw my dad do, you know, when you think about those things, which is crazy enough, when we cleared off the lot that my dad eventually built our house on, I saw my dad. Now, this won't relate. Bud Jeffries would probably love this. Yeah. I saw him take the base of the root ball of an old oak tree. He had cut it and then had pushed it out of the dirt with a bulldozer. And I don't know what inspired him to do this, but I saw him. Now, he denied this. Mm-hmm. He denied it, but I saw him do it. I saw him pick that thing up, walk with it about 20 feet, and throw it in a pile that we were going to burn. Because he didn't want to take the time to start the bulldozer up and drive it all the way where we were.
Yeah.
But he picked that root ball up and walked with it, and I had never... That stopped me in my tracks. And again, I never, you know, my dad was a boxer in the Navy and stuff like that,
sure.
Golden Gloves boxer. And to the day he was, I mean, even in his 60s, I would not put on a pair of gloves with him. There was, you know, and I'm a big, big, strong son of a bitch. And if I hit you, you're going to know it. And there was no way I would put on gloves with him. And, you know, that was the entire beginning of my thing. All of it started for me.
What it is? He had that scary strength, man.
Oh, yeah.
From that manual labor stuff where if he hit you, he'd probably put his hand through you. You know, I mean, literally, I'm serious. It's like those old farmers, man, you know, and I say this all the time. we need to get manual labor here back and get kids back doing manual labor. And I don't mean where they're getting abused, because somebody will say to me, well, you know, that error, how? Forget about that, all right? I'm talking, you know, just think, you know, when we're talking about kids in trouble and at risk, just think if you had to come home from school and go right to doing something manual, even if it was for 2 hours a day, but you're going nonstop for those 2 hours, I guarantee you, you're going to probably just have enough to be able to put that fork in your mouth, do what homework you got, and you're going to bed. And you're not going out starting any shit with anybody, all right? And the nice thing of it is, go ahead.
No, I mean, you know, well, one, you know, you were always halfway afraid. You know, it's like, I'm not, you know, you see somebody pick up a stump and a root ball and walk with it, you're not. You know, it made such an impact on me. Not only was I in awe, I was like, I'm not going to inspire him to bust my ass for any reason. And for the most part, that's all true. I didn't, you know, I didn't push my luck with my dad very often. And, you know, so, you know, that was the beginnings. And, you know, thankfully my dad got to see me lift at a high level. He didn't. He wasn't alive when I you know, hit my biggest totals, but he got to see me, you know, hit some big weight, and he'd always keep it in perspective. I remember telling him I wanted to bench press 700 pounds, and I had bench pressed something like 650, you know, and his response to that was like, well, hell, that's only 50 more pounds. Just load the shit and get it done, you know. And I'm like, how do you argue with that, you know? So
that's
why, you know, while that – you know, that he could be abrasive, but it was just one of those things that he felt like if he was matter of fact, it lessened the pressure.
You know, absolutely.
But just absolutely. All you got to do is do that. You know, you can do it. Just load it and go, you know. So,
I agree. Again, and, you know, go ahead.
That just, you know, to wrap that up, that is where all of it started for me, you know, and.
Yeah.
It created a work ethic that I think really carried over, you know, that you know, leads to what you were saying about manual labor or just having to work. You know, we had to get up early because we rode the bus and we lived out in a remote area, went to school, came home, you know, and there were chores or things that I just had to take care of, you know, and if I wanted to lift weights, I had to do it at a certain time, and, you know, so...
But you know,
that was the beginning.
Right. But it makes you not only do you learn responsibility, you know how to take an organized time. You know, if you know you want to lift that night, well, you've got to get XYZ done, eat your dinner, do your home, whatever they deem that you have to do, and then you have to make enough time to go out and do the thing you love to do, which is lifting weights. I like that whole simplicity thing you talk about with your dad. It reminds me of one of my neighbors. They came over from Italy, and her husband was, I guess you would call him a stonemason, whatever they were, and they used to pour concrete, all that deal. And these guys, there was a bunch of them. They're all a bunch of probably at that point maybe in their 40s, 50s, old Italians that did all that. And she used to tell me there were places they would go where they couldn't even set a floor properly. And these guys, whatever the day and age was, maybe in the 70s, you know, they had all kinds of new things, how to get it level and all this. She said these guys could literally walk in a room without using anything and know how to lay that concrete down, and it would be level.
Oh, yeah.
And,
oh, yeah.
You know, when you're talking about your dad laying, you know, you're laying logs that are – they'd look at you today if they could even lift them, and they'd be like, there's no way. Well, yeah, there is a way. And it's like, you know, sometimes you can do the biggest things with the littlest you have around you because you have to become creative and have some ingenuity. And these are all things it's not everywhere, but we've lost a lot of this stuff. I think when manual labor, working hard, that whole ethic went away. And look, it's great we've got technology. You and I need it for business and all that. But you know something? That's where it ends for me. All right. I don't rely on it where I have to, you know, tweet and email. No, I do what I have to do for the day, contact who I have to, and that's the end of it, all right, because I've got too many other things I got to do. And I think that sooner or later it's going to come to a point, and I think it's very close now, where you talk about socializing, lost art, You know, how many people do you know can't even look you in the eye and talk to you? I know tons of them. Talking about handshakes, my father was big on that. When you shake somebody's hand firmly, always look them in the eye because you can tell a ton about that. When you go out somewhere, you go to a nice restaurant, put your – and I used to, we used to kind of laugh at him and my mother, but they're so right. Put your napkin on your lap. Don't bend over to bring your food to your face. You know how to sit. Know how to, you know, don't put your elbows on the table. Well, I'll tell you, some story, a quick one. When I was doing all the systems work on the IBM mainframes, a lot of vendors would take you out to a nice restaurant for lunch because they want your business.
Sure.
You'd be amazed at the number of people that didn't know how to hold their fork, didn't know how to eat properly, at least the way I was taught, and most of them would not put a napkin on their lap. And these are not dumb people. These are highly educated people with degrees and everything, but yet, and this is where I look at people now more than ever, they do not know how to conduct themselves when they're out in public, at least the way I was taught, okay? I think that says a lot for you, and some people, well, it's not petty, because that all goes back to your character, and if you don't have good character, I don't want to do business with you anyways.
Right.
So, you know, I think these things now that you know, a lot of people kind of just brush off. I think you're going to see a resurgence of all this stuff, and I think it probably is resurging now because people are finding, man, they're just sitting around, they're empty. I mean, you know, you can go out on Facebook and converse with any girl you want or guy, whatever you know, whatever sex you are. But you know what? You're not meeting them. You don't know who they really are, and it's like, what an empty way to live. Well, you know, I've heard people say to me, well, I'm not taking any chances, can't get hurt. I got news for you, man. If you're that fragile, and everybody gets hurt in relationships, that's the way it is, but you don't let yourself get pummeled, that's pretty sad. So they live a virtual, existence, and, you know, now everything can be brought to your home, whether it's groceries or, you know, fast food, whatever it is. I'm like, I go by a different thing. I'll go out. I love training 20 below. I love going out in snowstorms. You know why? Because it's a test of your mettle. It's a test to see what you are, man. And it's like, I enjoy those things. I can't, you know, we were always saying, my brother-in-law would be over here. We'd be getting snow. We'd have snow up to our knees, man. And it's like, can you get out? Yep. We're going to lift stones. We're going to walk through because my house at night lights all up with the lights. And here we are, it's snowing out, and we're traipsing through snow, falling down, and you can't get hurt because the stone goes and just slaps if it's a foot of snow or whatever. And we're like, ha, well, everybody's in staying home and staying warm and not training. You and I are getting ready for the next event, man. And we ain't caring, right? But we are having the time of our life out there. That's what it's all about to me. It's, you know, it's like, all right, you got a dad. My father was real hard on us, you know. And it was like you always were wondering, it's like, okay, you know, is he going to be young? But on the other hand now, it was his training. And, you know, my mom had plenty to do it, but it was his training, that hard-ass Italian, you know, bare knuckles. I'll tell you what, I never knew this was going to happen, but it prepared me for everything I have today. And I say to my mother all the time, I'd love to be able to sit down with my dad and just have a beer with him and say, look, I'm struggling with this here. What do you think? You know, and I've got people that are like his age that I talk to about that stuff. And it's really nice to have somebody that's got a lot of experience in life. You know, they came up all in the north end of Boston. It was really hard. And they had a lot of knocks, and they lived through, you know, big – I think my grandfather's family, that was a family of 12, you know, and, you know, it just grew and grew. But every – generation got better and better. That's what they live for. But I go down and see him at the cemetery, obviously, and talk to him. But I wish I could have him here in front of me right now, physically, just to say, what do you think about me right now? How have I done in your eyes? And he'd tell me one way or the other. And it's like, if you don't have big shoulders, don't ask my father. know what I mean? Like, forget it.
I'm the same way. I had this conversation with Melissa. We were in Canton, Ohio. She had an uncle that passed away. He was 81, which is a strong run. 81 is a strong run. And, you know, I was telling her, I don't remember how we got on the subject, you know, but I told her, I said, you know, I wish my dad could be here long enough to meet you and just to kind of see the body of work, you know. And I said, now, I wouldn't have to ask him. He'd have an opinion. So,
yeah.
And he would let me know. But just to go, you know, some of the things that he was frustrated with, this is where it took me. You know, this is what I felt like I was meant to do. You know, it's been a very long and bumpy and windy and up and down pathway, but this is my calling. You know, give me your thoughts. And of course, before I could get, you know, ask him, he would have already given it. And you better have some thick skin, because he's probably going to hit you with some perspective, you know, that you weren't expecting. So I mean, I can totally relate to that. And because he's gone, you know, you try to fill that void. And this goes along, you know, with your question. The guy from there, now there's a lot of, you know, it's easy to say Bill Kazmaier, because, you know,
sure,
to me, that as far as strength athletes go, that's the guy that kind of blazed the trail, you know, from powerlifting to strongman, just to be, I was just awestruck by him. And then, of course, Larry Pacifico, whom I've become friends with, and I judge and talk to Jimmy on a regular basis, his son. And but the guy that kind of stepped in there that filled the void, you know, after my dad was gone, is my mentor, Bob Schaefer. And
okay,
like we talked about, he kind of went off the grid there for a while, and he's got a computer again, and he and I chat almost daily. And that's kind of my go-to guy. I learned powerlifting so much. You know, just, and not the, you know, here's how you bench, none of that stuff.
Exactly.
You know, learning, you know, I told someone, you know, it's like, well, should I high bar or low bar? And I'm like, with limit strength, what I want to find, what our real work is going to be, is where your leverage is. And that's the kind of thing that I learned from Bob. Or he liked what I was doing and said, you need to cultivate this. And, you know, he's the reason why I was writing for magazines, between him and Paul, the guy, Paul Kelso, sorry, it slipped. Paulie's got to be in his early 80s, you know, and the guy that wrote the Kelso Shrug.
Yep, yep.
Without those two, I would have never written for powerlifting USA, or, you know, those are the guys. You know, there's a lot of lifters out there that I really look up to. But like in today's world, just to give you an idea, I love Dave Hoff. That guy just, he is relentless. Laura Phelps Sweat, not only is she just an incredible lifter, she just is genuinely sweet and kind person. Carol Bahigian was someone that, not only in the powerlifting world, but in the Olympic world, just an incredible lifter. And then like current, one of the lifters here, of course, my son and my group of people, but one of ours, Jennifer Milliken, just at 123, you know, she was in here training deadlift Saturday. She did three sets of two with 375 pounds. She's a buck and a quarter, you know. And, you know, then I, Annie Talent Fry, she just recently married one of the other guys that I coach. She's in her mid-30s, has back issues from other athletics. Last week, couldn't pull a certain amount of weight just because the back was acting up. And then was doing 15 singles with 225 like a toy.
Wow.
You know, now she doesn't, she's tiny, you know, these are little, you know, little bitty, you know, less than everybody's less than 150 pounds. Now Melissa's a 165, but, you know, these girls are all going to be pulling 300 to 400 pounds. And awesome. So those things inspire me. I've got wrestlers, you know, these are my kids, but I've got two wrestlers, middle school wrestlers, that, just competed this weekend at state, and they both podiumed. And then, you know, one's 100 pounds, one's 115. The one that's 115 has done 200 pounds for six in the decline, you know.
That's awesome.
So, and runs cross country during cross country season. You know, it's like, there, if I'm running, you better either get in a car or you better get in front of me, you know, because I'm not running. I'm not going to run. If it's that bad, I'm going to square up and see what happens, you know.
Yep.
And so for a kid to come that wrestles and then can lift heavy, you know, he's doing reps with 200 pounds, you know, on the track bar, and then cross country season comes and he's like, well, I'm trying to get my 2 mile time down. I'm not walking 2 miles, you know. I mean, I'll do cardio, but I'm not going to run anywhere. So,
well, yeah, well, that's
those are the people. My coach from Osman Manzanares, you know, who lifted at the Barcelona games, you know, just continues. He's like me. You're kind of beat up and a little gristle there, and things don't work quite like they used to. And he just keeps pushing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, we're from different backgrounds, have different training philosophies, but the guy just keeps going. You know, and those are the things that inspire me. You know, those are the people. Melissa has to get up. Our alarm goes off at 4:15. And here's what happened. Here's the reality of the situation. She gets right up and gets her training clothes on and feeds the dogs. And then I starfish. Now, I've got a king-size bed. And she and I are in bed, and there's a couple of dogs, because apparently you can't sleep in this house without dogs. But that's another story for another time. So when everybody gets up, I kind of starfish in the bed and just kind of stretch out for a few minutes. And then I get up. She's downstairs warming up. When I see you pop up online, I'm at my desk answering messages. Yep. She's downstairs warming up. And then when she trains, which is never an optimal time for her, then she goes to work, you know, and is a nurse at a cancer research place. I can't imagine the stress. I can't even imagine. And, you know, then comes home and, you know, like on Mondays, because she has to go in so early, she does agility stuff, then comes home after working in that environment all day, and then is training Monday night. So,
Well,
you know, I know this is getting long-winded.
Well, no, it's not, but, you know, that is a very stressful job. I mean, you're around a lot of death, or people that aren't probably going to be around, or maybe some of them beat it, but that gives you a mental toll that most people have no idea. And, you know, I'll revert once again. Obviously, her character is far and beyond above. But you know something? That physical, mental duel you build, I don't care what anybody says, if you understand this, and we're talking about understanding this, not 30 days, all right?
Right.
You can contain things to a point where you can still survive and thrive. That's the key to everything. No matter what happens to you, no matter who you're around, what you're around, or the bad news that's delivered right at your feet, you find a way to still get through it. It might knock you back, but you're always going to come forward and beat it. So I just think that, you know, extraordinary is a word that needs to be used over and over again, because I always say, why be ordinary when you can be extraordinary? And I know a lot of people have a lot of fear in them and are afraid to put themselves out because they're afraid of what people think. Well, you know something, man? I forgot that a long time ago, man. It doesn't matter anymore to me. Do I want people to hold me in high regard that I respect and think I do a good job? Absolutely. But if you're worrying about what people are thinking about you, you're not doing your job. If I'm worried about XYZ, well, then I'm not putting my best effort into the podcast show or my main website or contacting people that want to come on the show or questions. That's what it's all about. And if you're pissing your life away on that stuff, all it's going to lead to is just screwing you up worse. And then you're like, I don't know what to do. I'm 40 years old now. What have I accomplished? What have I done? I don't know which way to go. And you can go either way. You can get in trouble, or you can try to make yourself better. So I'll leave it at that, Wade. Anything you want to add, be my guest. If not, give out all your information. I will give mine, and just hang on the line if you would, please.
Right on. You can reach me at supersquat800@yahoo.com just for general questions. If you're interested in the online training or what we do here at the gym, if you want to come to the gym, email me at teamogre@outlook.com. I have a personal Facebook page, and we have, I honestly, I think it's Team Ogre Powerlifting. team_ogre_powerlifting. I think that's it. I didn't set it up. One of the girls did. We're on Instagram, and then we have an Ogre Compound page as well on Facebook. Contact me with any questions if I can help you. You know, I'd love to. If you want to become a client or part of the team, by all means, contact me. We do to help raise money for the gym because I do get paid. I don't want to have any kind of a false pretense, but there are people out there that need this, that have to have it, and they don't have the capacity to pay, and that's fine. That, you know, that's between me and God, and yep. You know, and I feel like, you know, if it's that important to someone that they need to be here, then we'll figure it out. And yeah. So we sell T-shirts and a few other things. So if you're interested in an Ogrewear T-shirt, I just got 15 of the Ogrewear T-shirts, and on the back is the Old Man Strength, you know, logo as well. And we just sell those for $20 and whatever shipping is. And if you're interested in something like that, then by all means, give me a shout. And come and see the gym and come be part of it.
Okay. Is that it, Wade?
That's all I got.
Okay. This is Motivation Muscle, the podcast show that connects your brain to your brawn. We are sponsored by Dr. Wong's Essentials, www.docsprefer.com, Sorenex.com. Don't forget, too, Steven Santangelo's Athlete's Choice, Primal Creations at AOL.com, STEPHEN.SANTANGELO.75. You can reach him on Facebook there. John Wood, GrasslandBeef.com. Don't forget, Loaded with CLAs, Loaded, and they start grass-fed, grass-finished, so go out there. PlanetOfYourWorkouts.com, that's a logbook, and you can also go out on Amazon Prime and get it for $5, no shipping. StrongerGrip.com, once again, Ryan builds stuff for everybody, NFL, Hollywood, arm wrestling, you know, he's been featured in Men's Health Magazine. And get into our contest. Like I said, all you got to do is take your favorite strength event, whatever it is, whether you're on the show or not, upload it to our YouTube subject line, FBC and Stronger Grip with a dash, what it is. Put your email address in it. You got to March 17th. Go out there and get involved. You're going to win a $350 sledge. It's beautiful. 8xclub.com. Those are all adjustable exercise clubs and maces. That's our good friend Donnie G and Fardino. Top 10 ways to build mind and muscle out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Strength times power equals success in the winner's circle. That's all out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Sponsorship, the same way. Get involved, FiorellaBarbellCo.com. Motivation and muscle. Don't forget, we're out on FiorellaBarbellCo.com, MotivationandMuscle.com. We're on iTunes and Stitcher. We're also, you can get a hold of me on Facebook at Fiorella Barbell, Motivation and Muscle. Also, too, don't forget, we are on Twitter at Fiorello Eric, and I'll leave you with these five things. Well, if there's something you'd like Wade and I to do, too, Fiorello Barbell at NICAP.R.com. If someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, never be afraid to say hello to them, give an opinion, help them out. Second of all, as my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to somebody or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. Also, too, like me, I'm going out to lift again tonight. Go lift some weight, pull some weight, press some weight, squat some weight, take some stones and turn them into dust. And as the great Hoos of Steel Crusher Stone says on both sides, domination in blood red. We are domination. We are coming for you. We don't follow the path. We clear cut it. Come join my family. It'll be the best 25 years of your life. And like I say on everything I write now, we go out and dominate and obliterate everything in our past. So be part of that. As I always say, no one's ever going to clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, who's been listening to the show from the beginning and who's been a guest, he said, when I listen to your show, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers. Thank you for that great compliment. And I will say that, Russell, to the day we sign off. Wade Johnson, this was an excellent, excellent show. Thanks for being on, sir. Wade?
Always great to be with you, Eric. Okay. It was fun.
Same here, brother. So for Wade Johnson, this is Eric Fiorello. Thanks for listening. We'll have Wade on next month. and I'm putting this show up. As soon as I hang up with Wade, it's going to be up. So get ready for this one. Have a great weekend, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week. And remember, tell 100 friends. We're coming for you regardless.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.